great.
Look at what I did.
Broke it.
Hey. That is the sound of foam fucking a microphone. For those that are watching on live stream, you can watch it.
Not watching because it's not live stream yet.
Make it go.
Then everybody missed that, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
So I learned a lesson. Don't grab the mic by the mic head in Skid Row Studios. Normally I don't do that, but I did today.
Got it.
But anyway, hi. Hey.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intellectual Kink.
Welcome.
I'm Insidious Muse.
I'm Service Slut.
And wow. And we have a guest.
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm just, my brain is like melted.
I could tell.
I'm here though. I'm here. I'm totally here.
That's awesome. Sorry.
I'm here. I'm present.
Okay. We have a guest, our good friend Sanger, who is
hello,
here.
Hello.
Who was in before on a night when we had a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't think I really said anything.
It was our laughing about sex episode. I
did get tied up.
Yeah, you did.
She did.
On the radio.
Because Andrew's smart enough to bring rope with him.
We did negotiate that whole scene.
Which is what I call a Panda Express.
A Panda Express, yes.
I don't know it. So his nickname is Panda.
Where?
Andrew.
When?
All the time.
Oh.
All the time.
New word. Why?
Why? I don't know. He has a panda thing. He has a lot of pandas.
He has things.
Like you go to his apartment and he's got a lot of pandas. He has a full panda costume.
Wow.
So, yeah, Andrew, we're talking about you. Yeah, he's got a lot of panda thing.
Oh, was the wordless negotiation the express part?
Yes. Just
keep whipped out the rope. And I was like, let's.
There you go.
Why not? And then
I think he'd rather be affiliated with having a rope negotiation be fast as his Panda Express than sex.
Yes.
Oh. I'm just saying. Because that would be bad.
Let's make that clarification.
Let's not spread a rumor.
Put that out there.
No.
I didn't even say it. Strike is in the record.
I still want to watch him fuck.
I know.
And that better not fucking be Express.
Right? Fuck that shit, man.
Better not be Express.
Look at me. I just adjusted my volume and now I can hear my voice, my mellifluous voice in my ears.
It sounds so good
in my ears. The weird thing about it, though, is when you have your voice like really loud in your headphones, people out there, this is going to matter to you, but it matters to us a lot because
we're here for you.
Is that when you can hear your voice really well, then you're like, you could talk really quiet, but you can't because, you know, it's
That was a lesson for me. Right there.
There you go. See, educational.
I know. Sweet fuck nothing.
We're always learning. We're always learning. That's what we're doing.
Wow. Segway.
Segway.
City.
Let's do it.
So we actually have like a pretty heavy topic right now, just so y'all know. We're going to discuss, we've had in the past when we weren't in Intellectual Kink, when we were called the Love Bite, we talked about abuse in DS. And we're going to talk about it again, but we're going to talk about when DS is abuse. And we're going to talk about it from a very personal experience, which is Sanger's, where she had an actual experience where she was in an MS relationship and it turned out to be very abusive and not at all consensual. And kind of her journey and her inner dialogue. And I was talking to Sanger earlier about this, I want the inner dialogue to be put out there because there could very well be somebody out there with that inner dialogue happening right now. And the problem when you're in a DS or an MS relationship and you go to people and you tell them that this or that happened, there is a lot of times people say, well, they're the D type, you know,
like as we spoke about, well, just be more submissive.
Right, exactly. Where you gotta subby up or whatever the answer is. And that I was in, it was not a DS relationship, but I was in an abusive relationship. And it's having the strength to even speak to another person is huge. And having them dismiss or poo-poo you is beyond discouraging. And so I really want anybody who's having any of these inner thoughts just to think about them and just think about the journey that this woman has gone on. And if it rings true to you, then maybe you need to reevaluate your situation. And if you're not in an abusive relationship, this shouldn't frighten anybody.
Nope.
So,
and I think I'd like to, because I think we said this 14 times when we spoke earlier, that I don't think MS is inherently bad or abusive. I don't think every MS relationship or DS is, just because it's that, it's an abusive relationship. I don't find that, I'm going to stick to that. Like, because there are apologists who say, oh, because it's MS or consensual, non-consensual, which is, wait, I flipped that around. No, CNC, mm-hmm. right. It there's no such thing as abuse. And right. they will play that party line over and over again. No, you said you would ride this ride, so fuck you, basically. Right. And you're making all this shit up, which is, you know, the whole of the mind fuck that is an abusive relationship. You've made all of this up.
Yeah.
And it's too bad that you're just, you were a smart girl. You know, when you started this, you were so smart before.
What happened?
You were so secure.
Yeah.
Now you're just.
Now you're not. What happened?
You know.
So true.
So.
No cough button. So let's start from the beginning. So, you know, who were you? And then you got into this relationship, and let's talk about that.
I was much younger. This started about 10 years since now. No more. But, and I've been away for almost two now, on my own, back in LA, single, happy as hell. But I was in a really fucked up situation. I had lost my job. I had like an unsettled health situation. I couldn't figure out what I was going to do for work. And this person said, hey, I'll give you a job. Just move to Canada. And I left this city. I love LA with a kind of stupid abandon. Like, I want to fuck the sidewalks of LA. Kind of.
It's a little messy, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, right?
Totally.
Dirty.
You could probably get
noisy,
an infection from that.
Beautiful. Fucking love the city. And I left. I said, fine, let's go. I hadn't met him before. You know,
wow.
It was like the instant isolation. Leave everything you know, everything you love, because he's promising the world.
Yeah.
And I'm the girl. He's, you know, I'm worth it. It's going to be great. And whew, right away. It was frightening. You know, just scary, scary, frightening. I'm on a rooftop at a parking garage at Toronto Pearson 5 days after I met this guy. And it's, I think, the equivalent of like 38 degrees, which doesn't happen in LA.
Right.
It's windy, it's cold, it's October, and I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to do this. It's going to be great. And maybe, can we stop and get an Irish coffee on the way back to your place or something? Because it's fucking cold. And we roll up to this bar, flipping my pen around. And so it gets fucked up right away. He had an ex who had her own spousal abuse situation where she was the abuser. And so she was on bail, but the condition of bail was that she stay with the person I went to live with because he bailed her out.
Oh.
And she was routinely drunk. So another condition of her bail was stay away from licensed establishments. And of course, she's at this bar, right? And she's blacked out, stupid drunk. And she's super excited to see him, flings his arms around him, and says, "You, this is quite telling." She says, "Oh, you like him little now." So I came back to LA in 2012. I weighed 140 pounds more than I do now.
Oh, wow.
So all that weight I'd gained in the meantime in those 6-8 years. And when I left, right? Oh, you like him little now. His house was disastrous. I mean, I could go on. There's so much to say.
So here's the question. At that point, it wasn't abusive at that point. It was just somebody not being totally truthful on the internet. And surprise.
Totally. Like, I'll do anything for romance, right? It's, you know.
So why did you stay?
So I went to work ostensibly, but the work visa wasn't worked out for a while. So I was gonna work, do a job because it was just like stage management, IT project management. Oddly enough, I work in IT project management now, but I'm really good at it. But I kind of had to fake it for a while. Anyway, it's hard to not blame myself right away, right? Oh, well, I believed him and I thought I'd make the best of it. And I'm going to, you know, make this go and do and cheerlead and St. Bernard and all that shit I do. But I was in a different country and I couldn't work for anyone but him because he was the sponsor of my work visa and he wasn't giving me a job. At one point I got paid in veal.
In veal?
Veal. Yes.
Was it a large amount of veal, or was it simply a meal and it was a Victor Victoria scenario? I'm referencing a movie.
I know.
Everybody,
no movie, sorry.
Said they got that.
I know. Julie Andrews was in it.
Andrews?
I know that part. Are you going to sing?
No.
Okay, fine.
The songs from it.
Yeah, I couldn't pay the lease in veal. But it was quite a bit. Yeah. Schnitzel and ossobuco. And I could cook. I could cook. I still can cook. But I was out of sorts, you know, and I completely lost my footing at that point. I mean, probably had long since lost my footing, and an avenue of expression was moving to a different country, you know, and hoping for the best. It's
gonna keep you were ideal prey.
I think so. Yeah. I want to believe that wasn't, there was no overarching, I'm going to make this woman suffer for however long I can, right? I want to believe that. I have no fucking idea at this point.
Yeah.
Everything I think was maybe somehow founded in a grain of truth gets blown out of proportion with how much fraud he perpetuated. Like my social security number, he worked under that when we moved back to the States. So, you know, there's a bunch of taxes I owe on a job I had no interaction with.
That's always
expensive. Loans, a mortgage.
Nice.
Just, yeah, that kind of shit. So there's that. Hey.
Try to see social media. I'm listening.
No. I don't know what to say now. I'm completely.
Okay, so.
What next?
When did you get an inkling that something was wrong? Other than that's just weird. But, you know, you're making the best of it. So let's say you got into kind of a whatever the relationship was, whatever you had decided it was it DS, was it MS, whatever. When did you know that it wasn't what you understood MS or DS to be?
It never really was what I thought any kind of negotiation described, right? Didn't address anything that I thought we would set up and, you know, he's going to establish protocol, but, you know, I don't feel like it. I can't be bothered. And, okay, so he's got other shit to worry about. He doesn't want to come up with protocol. Fine. We came back to the States. My mother was in Texas, so we started there and wound up in Austin. And we met up with another couple through, I think, like a swing thing. Just a stab at social anything. Something not in the house, right?
And when you're in that kind of situation, does you do anything? Fuck, I went to church. And those of you who know me, I'm a pretty vehement atheist. I went to church because it was the only acceptable kind of social interaction I was allowed to have in my abusive relationship. So I understand. Hey, well, and maybe you're not a swinger, but hey, so let's be swingers.
I mean, I've always sort of bent the whole non-exclusive thing. I mean, since I left the husband that was the pastor part.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
the minister, sorry. Yeah, okay. But I was never really keen on, like, must be just the two of us, couple up, make it mono, all that, you know. So we meet this other couple, and they're not far away, and it's all right, right? But soon after the four of us cohabitate as...
Oh, you all move in together?
We all move in together.
Like a strange kind of forced company.
Move in. Well, it was all sort of like, let's save each other, right? So the decision is made. We're all going to get together in their house and put the queen size bed with the king size bed. And we'll shim it up so that they're even enough and we can all sleep in this planet bed or whatever the fuck. And very shortly, my then husband loses his job. So, you know, the other of the quad, the other he, is great. I'm going to take care of everybody until you get another job. Meaning my ex, because I wasn't allowed to work at that point. So then the she of the couple eventually said, I'm not bisexual and I'm not poly. And I am owned by your husband and you can't, I mean, she threw fits all the time. Like at one point she said, I want to kill you because I was sleeping next to my husband. And my husband's response was, we need to take care of her. because she might kill herself instead, and we can't have that. I was like, but I don't feel safe at all. And he said,
and in the moment, basically, of course, it seems very rational to have that viewpoint that, well, if she's suicidal, then obviously crazy people say crazy things, so you want to take care of her. In the moment, it seems very rational.
I was just, this is not right. I'm not, this is not going well. Shit's, I get nothing. I slept on the floor so that she could sleep next to him. And that was his, you know, mandate. You can sleep on the floor and listen to me, fucker. Because I don't want to fuck you anymore. When I had a hysterectomy, I was no longer a woman to him. I mean, it just, all the shit that we talk about, physical abuse. And I think people who find out someone's been in an abusive situation, they're like, was it physical? Like, doesn't fucking matter, right? I'm a masochist. Physical, the mind fuck is what really undid it, right? Just,
yeah.
Who the fuck am I anymore?
For a very brief thing. So when I finally did leave my husband, I still was like, people were like, well, you're abused. And we used all the stuff in the court and everything. And I'm like, yeah, was I really abused? And then I had to go to this group therapy thing with other abused women. And you go around, everybody tells their story. It's like an AA meeting, but for abused people, right? And yeah. Then I tell my story, and the looks on these women's faces, and they came to me afterwards like, oh my God, how did you endure it? And I'm thinking, you just told me you went to the hospital with broken ribs, and it was unanimous how my situation was so much worse. I'm like, what the fuck? When did that happen? You know, so it was, you don't ever have any awareness, but it's almost as if you can heal faster from a bruise than from these emotional things. And
the change in how I thought, I knew the floor, I knew the ground, I knew the bottom of the ocean. Like, I had my feet there. And over those 8 years, so, and I want to say there was a method to it. And I talked to you about gaslighting at one point. If you can Google gaslighting. Because some people will go, holy shit. You said, oh my God, this is my relationship.
Yeah.
So I don't have a perfect example, but bits and pieces are like, well, if you were just more secure, maybe we'd find you sexy, but we don't find you sexy. And there's, you know, you're just so insecure.
Yeah.
And just unsettled. And the Wikipedia is better. It's way good. Dude, she's got Urban Dictionary, which is good for a lot of shit, but no, gaslighting. Go ahead.
Well, you had slowly been being usurped by this other woman, and then all of a sudden there was like this cliff. And even then you were like, oh. But the challenges were that you were branded, not physically, but you were a slave. That's what you
twice
called yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what they called you, and that was your role in the relationship. And so because that word can have so many meanings to so many people, and it can change. It sounds like in that relationship, it just seemed to change and change and change. And to the point of debasement where there was nothing. There was no humanity involved for you in that relationship anymore.
I think that's a really good assessment. I remember at one point he said, well, she's my doll. She's my sex slave. You're the house slave. You do the shit nobody wants to do. You know, it was that kind of like, she's over here with me in the bed, you know, performing sexual services, service napping. Because you know.
What? Service napping.
That's a thing?
No, it is not a thing. Let me clarify. In our relationship, not a thing.
See, and if I even like
service napping my ass.
No. It was a very serious thing.
I could tell.
Very serious. And, you know, I'm sleeping outside because the kitchen wasn't clean enough this time, you know, because sometimes didn't give a shit. Don't move my shop. Don't clean while I'm here. You're always here. You keep losing your fucking jobs, right? Like the amount of which way the fuck am I going was the bit. And of course, I tried to seek help, right? I had a slave who mentored me and she said, be obedient and be beautiful. And don't think about anything else. What?
What?
How do you be
Now, let me ask, because we've got the S-types on the other side of the table. Let me ask.
Oh, she's got her. She's pointing.
I'm sorry. I'll Disney point.
Please don't Disney.
If somebody said to you, Nancy, you were struggling with something in your submission, and they said, be obedient and be beautiful, what would you say to that?
What the fuck does that mean?
Right, how would that resonate to you? I mean, does that speak at all to what a submissive or a slave should be? Just obedient and beautiful, that's it?
No. I'm telling you, it's a mantra. There are people who will probably seek me on FET right now and go, you horrible cunt, how could you, like...
It's so...
abrogate our way of being. And the thing is...
It's like, so monochromatic.
It's entirely...
It doesn't address the multitudes of things that create a human being to be a human being. And I'll be honest, if I had somebody who was just obedient and beautiful, I would bore of them in a heartbeat, because that's, to me, that's not what I want in a submissive. Do I want them to be obedient? Yes.
Right. But then here comes the fucked up logic, right? Well, you know, if she's obedient to you, then she's obedient the way you want her to be, right? So then we're right by saying be obedient, be beautiful, because if she does what you say, however you want her, if you want her to like smart off or, you know, dance with a teapot on her head or whatever the fuck, right? Like,
that should happen.
The point is don't, for the S side, which I'm not anymore, I'm just the M, masochist.
But it's a little M.
Well, whatever the fuck. Yeah. I'm a wee speakers. Whatever. I don't care that much. I honestly don't. But the tautology is, if somebody says, my advice to you is be obedient, be beautiful, and you're saying, what the fuck? Over? And you say, but that sounds boring, the rebuttal would be, well, what is obedient for her, how do the fuck do you refer to each other?
Mistress.
Okay.
And Nancy.
So for your mistress, your obedience is this way, right? And then, so you can't put a broad stroke over every fucking thing, right? Yeah. You can't say it's always this way. So
what was going through your mind in that in those moments, in that time when all of that was happening? What were you thinking?
I was not built any longer for joy. I was obviously a creature who did not understand joy. It could not be expressed through me. I saw it. Shaman help. I saw it, you know, drugs and mental help. And how many pills can I take to make this thing better? And I wrote a lot. I mean, I would write prayers to this person. And he would, you know, nothing was fucking good enough. You know, so I saw people in the MS community near where we were, who were so happy. And I thought, what? I'm just doing it all wrong. And all of it was just conditioned how not good enough I was. I was never, ever good enough, you know? And that's the shitty part, right?
Yeah.
Like, never once, not never once. Eventually, it was never, right? I mean, it grew to a point where he was obviously... Or no, he was verbally like, I don't care about you, but I need the, you know, knots on my whatever the fuck, right? So I tried to leave in the fall of 2011, and I got sweet talk back. And I know, look,
the cycle of abuse.
The look at your face, like, it's true. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it is going to be different. You know, he's going to touch me again. He's going to tell me he loves me again. He's going to tell me, you know, it's going to be better. I know, I could tell. The dude could fucking sell sand to a nomad. I mean,
And it is better for a little while.
So, the thing is, I counted the days. I came back in, like, the 1st or 2nd of September. It was the end of November before he touched me. And he said, I was testing you. I was like, I've been desperate. Like, I've been hoping, just please, anything. Just begging, right? As well. And he spent 35 minutes laying next to me in bed and his other girl threw the most amazing noisy temper tantrum, slamming every fucking glass, pot, pan, door, walked out of the house. So, of course, he left to go sort her out, by which he means pet her and put her back to bed and spend the night with her. Because I had to sleep in a different room by that point. You know, I couldn't even sleep on the floor in their room, in their bed. You know, I slept in a different room, had my own room. Fuck. You know, nothing was worth it. I wasn't, I mean, it just, the whole loss of joy and the realization that it was gone. It was, okay, so now I'm just waiting around to die. And every day was, how am I either going to kill myself or get myself killed? Fucking day.
Zombie mode.
There was an activity to it, though. Like the chess game. So if I dart across the street like this with my car, can I get my car in such a situation where it would look accident enough? You know, I'm a smart person. I should not be applying my math skills to that kind of physics. Right. You know, fuck that. So, I came back to LA on vacation. And I looked at the ocean on January 6th. And I was like, this is joy. Holy shit. Oh my God. Oh, I mean, people texted me from my whatever media, Facebook's, everything's, emails. I've never seen you smile like that. And, you know, a few people said, you've been brave face the whole time I've known you. This is really your smile, you know? And so I was here for 8 days. I never left. I started over with nothing. Like a laptop and a bag of clothes. 2 pairs of shoes. And here I am. And I have a Mini Cooper now. Her name is Ollie.
You have a Meg Ryan smile.
I hope that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
I knew we weren't going to go to moral of a story kind of thing. And you can ask me a million questions. So it's fine.
No, I think, I mean, for me, it's funny.
Babble.
No. We have time to kind of dissect the whole concept, not just your life, but the concept. I know that I'm going to say things that'll probably make other D-types cringe. And that's that, you know, everybody has to get something out of the relationship. Everybody does.
I can see in my head D-types going, how dare she?
I'm sorry. Everybody has, you know what? There was this one D-type, and the funny thing is, when I met him, I thought he was the biggest douche on the planet. Like, he just, like, has this douche vibe. And then when I actually had one-on-one conversation with him, I was like, well, he's kind of a cool guy. And he said this one thing to me that was, like, fucking genius. He said, 93% of the time, it's for them. It's for the S type. 93% of the time, what we do, it's for them. And he goes, 7%, it's for fucking me.
Hmm.
And it was. And the funny thing is, when you're a D type, that's what it is.
I have a question on that.
By all means.
How do you...
The young lady with the cute hair.
It's raining out. My curls are going, hello, everybody. How do you come up with that kind of significance to 93 and 7?
It was just what he said. And I think it's not an actual quantified number.
Well, see, it is. It's a number, therefore...
It's not, but it's not, you know.
But at what point is it only for one or the other? I mean, I think there's a lot of, oh, it's for you, but it's really, like, both of you get good
and that,
shit.
And that's ideal, right? When everybody gets something out of it, you know?
And I think...
This is why I love DS, dominance, submission, masters. This is why I love it. There is somebody out there who loves to do service.
I love service.
There's somebody out there who loves to just give massages. Give that for an example.
Sure.
With no return, but the fact that they've made whoever they gave the massage to happy. That's it. Mm-hmm. And there's somebody out there who loves to get massages for no reason than they like to get massages.
There's no arche.
There's no more
principle pushing that one.
And the thing that I...
Grab that mic.
It's been a while since I've had sex. I have to do something. The reason that I love that there are these two sides, the yin and the yang, is that you don't have to feel guilty as a D-type for wanting these things because somebody's being fed. There's feeding that's happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I think that you right. should give thanks, obviously. That's, but I was raised with manners. I have a strange hierarchy where manners are more important than dominance.
Here's the thing. It's your fucking relationship. You don't have to kowtow to anybody's should list.
Right.
You don't have to make it. And the thing about that unsettled my situation was that I had no Sanger left, right? There was no me. And I mean, couldn't use personal possessives, first person possessives, you know, no mine. But that rule didn't apply to the other girl, right? So,
right.
How come? Well, she, you know, she's different. Okay. But there's no musts in relationships, right? If someday somebody said, you know, Nancy, between you and me, there's seriously not enough fisting. And I'm not sure we can keep going unless we get the fisting going, right? But without speaking up and saying, I know I haven't asked you yet because I'll ask you. Don't worry, I'll ask her. Right. Without being able to voice, I am lost. I need help. And without fear of how dare you need help, you should be, I should be your star. I should be. And for me, that was like, but I'm asking for help because you are my star and you're the I'm compass. You go help, please. And it was all, how dare you need help? Because I should have been your guiding and you did not listen or you did not submit enough to understand the cryptic instruction in which I told you how to make coffee. What? I mean, shit just got out of fucking whack. And I had no me. That was the, where? And, you know.
Well, and to some people, not having a me can be very appealing temporarily.
Oh, sure. Right.
But in reality, in living in today, mm-hmm. most people have to have a job where, guess what? Them being me is usually pretty important because they have like an ID badge and they have like social security number and they have this
or
kind
mine,
of stuff.
Yeah.
Or yours.
Yeah.
So to be not you 100% of the time is generally not a possibility. It's a possibility you can be not you in those moments. And the truth of the matter is because they have that opportunity to be a full whole person sometimes at work or whatever, or with their family, those kinds of things, that gives them the ability to let go and have those moments when they're completely abandoned as a slave. I mean, they're a slave and they're nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know if the human, if a human being is able to handle that level of debasement all the time.
And who knows, right? The clincher for when you try and get to which is MS and you're submitting to an edict or mandate and which is the abuse part, that's an insidious, forgive the invocation of your
it's okay
handle. It's sneaky. It's out of fuck nowhere. Weren't we on a chart to do some good shit together? And didn't we used to like each other? Didn't I used to like being alive? You know, all of a sudden and out of and any question in that. I remember like the moment I was like, I want the fuck out. And I fought back. You know, I finally said, fuck this. And I took off. Like, I was done. I'm moving on. See ya. But I know we wanted to dissect more, but the should list, like the here's how to be dominant or here's how to, who the fuck cares? If this is your, did you say slave?
Submissive,
and this is your mistress, and this is how you do, and you work shit out. I don't care. Like your parentheses.
Right. No, every relationship is different.
Right. Which is to say, I am not ascribing abuse to all MS. Right?
No. I don't think that's anything. But what I am saying is that when no matter how different everybody's relationships are, mm-hmm. both parties are getting something out of it. They are. Both parties are getting something out of it, some emotional fulfillment of that relationship Or else why would they be in the relationship?
Because, well, for Mike, in my case, I was hostage.
That's what I mean.
Right.
That,
oh, I see.
That
I,
shows like,
now
the
we're
nature
answering the
of abuse
hi.
Where people can understand.
Gotcha. Sorry.
If you're in a relationship and you're getting nothing out of it and you're feeling no joy, or that's the time when you need to really reassess. Maybe it's not specifically abusive. I don't want to say that, but maybe that relationship isn't healthy.
Right. You know? But don't question that, because I'm the M. I'm the master. I'm the owner. You submit to me in all things.
Everybody knows not to question me.
Of course not. Right. Yes. It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
It's interesting because the part of what I think about this is not only people need to do self check-ins fairly frequently within relationships. I think that that's really, really important on both sides of the equation. So check in. How are you feeling? What's going on? Just with yourself, and be like, okay, if there's a lull, if something's happening, is it a temporary thing, and what do I attribute it, or is this chronic? Is this something that's happening chronically? Is this an ongoing issue that needs to be addressed more seriously? I think that we sometimes don't do that, where we check in with ourselves. We get so accustomed to going with the flow and just being in a relationship and being like, well, I'm in a relationship. You know, where it's but again, if you're losing those moments of joy, what's the benefit?
This is I think the check-in bit, the idea that something's off. I don't feel like that gets taken away. I mean, that gets systematically destroyed with the rest
in an abusive relationship. Yes,
and then to top, like, how dare you question? You're the submissive. You're the slave. Your job is not to question. Your job is to be obedient and be beautiful. And maybe, you know, I don't know. There's the hard part, I think. The hardest. No, not the hardest. I don't want to ascribe that kind of judgment to anything. But things that sucked were I thought I was stupid. Mm. And I blame myself for everything. Like, it's so hot. He can't get comfortable. The AC doesn't work. What have I done? I mean, it was that, like, burdensome. I am responsible for all. And he says I am absolutely or ultimately or some bullshit adverb he said he was an expert. I am so completely, absolutely responsible for everything. But then, you know, you can't make sure we have food in the fridge. And how come it's my job to make sure the rent gets paid? But except for when... It's not my job, but I don't know that part, right? There's just so much unsettled.
It's a moving target.
Completely.
That's very indicative of an abusive relationship when it is a moving target. It makes no one can stay settled.
And you're right. In the whole, I'm at fault for everything, and I'm not submissive enough. And if I try more to be submissive, and I'm still not, what the fuck is wrong with me? Yeah. It's all, oh God, what have I done, right? How could I make him the enough?
The enough. Not fill in the blank enough. Not good enough, smart enough,
sexy
enough, pretty enough, talented enough, funny enough, whatever.
My shoes were too big.
So I think we can universally agree that I'm pretty funny, right? Pretty funny?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, no, no, I was not. I was told that I stopped trying. You don't have a good sense of humor. Why would you? And to give you an example, it's like, oh, okay. Maybe people were just giving me pity laughs. Okay, I'll believe it because, you know.
And then anytime anyone laughs at you, you're like, oh, shit.
Is it a pity
They're
laugh?
Just making fun of me.
Pity laugh.
And
damn it, but I thought it was funny. Fuck.
Wasn't funny.
It's funny. Fuck. Assholes.
But
so, yeah.
At what point were you like, it's me? It's not them being assholes.
Oh, yeah, no. It was me. It was, yeah. Then that's, again, in an abuse. You really start to question your own sanity. A lot.
Reality, even. Fuck sanity. I knew I was gone. I was a goner for sanity. I just had no reality.
Yeah, no. There's none of that. It's pretty sad. I mean, when you're on the inside of an abusive relationship, what it does to your, not just to your emotions and to your psyche, but what it does to your mind, the amount of deterioration that happens is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I thought I was dumb. I mean, all of these things.
You knew. It wasn't thought. It wasn't,
no,
you
yeah.
knew. Right?
Well, yeah, I was like, well, no, I was just, it was one of the, I didn't even, it wasn't a no or a think, it was, I just accepted. I just accepted
yeah.
that I'm not filling a blank enough, whatever that means, for whomever, for whatever. And it, and for some reason, my abuser's opinion was the most important on the planet. And I don't know why. Like, I look back and I'm like, why?
Right?
But for, at that moment, those nuggets of, for lack of a better term, good girls.
Exactly.
Which
yeah.
I never got because that didn't, but those right. nuggets of that moment, that sense of validation that I might be worth more than a piece of shit mm-hmm. was pretty freaking amazing mm-hmm. and rare. And it's one of those things where you lose yourself. You lose yourself. Into, I was a different human being. None of you would have recognized me at all. There was no joy. Like you said, there was no vivaciousness. No, nothing. No.
I think along the same line, the good girl, you get knocked in the MS. And I got knocked. For, how you shouldn't seek the good girl. I mean, it's nice to have. But
all aspects
if you want
it.
The good girl, you got to do the work for the M. You got to do the work for your owner, your sir, your master, whatever the fuck. I couldn't bring myself to use the word sir or master. I mean, I didn't give him those words. And I'm pretty picky about the words I choose. And I thought, they don't come out. They don't make natural. I'm not going to say them. And I don't think I've ever called somebody sir. I might have called you sir.
I think you
actually, when you were beating
sir.
The shit out of me one night.
I guess.
I think so. I think I called Fauna daddy too. Fauna, if I haven't called
That's
you daddy.
Awesome.
I really wouldn't mind calling you. That's no. Awesome. But then they, you know, like, but that, those words, how come you never call him sir? I don't know. It just doesn't occur to me to call him sir. Well,
and I think that opens up a really, really valuable thing that people need to look at, and that's vetting your partner, whether they're on the DM side or the SS side, vetting your partner.
I mean, we have the whole universe at our World Wide Web.
Right.
Right? WWW will.
Do they yeah. have knowledge, experience, skills? Have they done this before? Do they have past people? I mean, I have past S-types that I'm still friends with that I think are wonderful human beings. I wasn't the proper mistress for them. They weren't the proper S for me, but it doesn't mean they're a bad person.
And it doesn't mean you know? Abuse them.
Exactly. But it's one of those things where, you know, and it's people can talk, you know, it's like, why not? Why can't we have references? And I know that there are D types that are like, why? How dare you? You know what?
Suck it up,
bitch,
buttercup.
You're going to try. You are. Somebody's going to put their entire life in your hands. You better just sit back and deal with the fact that they're going to make sure that they're good hands.
It would, yeah. Where's your security, motherfucker, right?
Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that should be an accepted and normal thing. And people should be willing to do it, you know? And people talk about vetting S-types all the time. And I've done it.
Does she have her coffee service certificate?
I've actually gone. I've had people that said, requested to serve me. And I've said, okay, well, you know, and they said, you can speak with my former mistress. Okay, mm-hmm. Awesome. I'll go talk to your former mistress. And I have, and I was like, ooh. Okay, well, those are red flags for me, you know, and not necessarily, it's like, look, they're a good person. There's this happened and this happened and this happened. If those types of things don't bother you, then they might be a great S type for you, which is true. Everybody's different, right? But it's one of those things. I do you know of S types that ask for referrals from D types and references?
How dare you?
I don't see why it can't be. It should be. Everybody should make sure. I mean, we talk about communication and open and honest and blah, blah, blah all the time. But if a D-type isn't going to be open and honest and communicate, then the entire system is fraud. That's my soapbox right there.
Preach it.
You know?
I think there are people who say, you know, you must be tall and this tall to ride this ride. And if you don't know what you're getting into, then suck it up, right? Like, too bad. You can't cry abuse. And that's the thing that really
that's
got to me.
Bullshit.
Like, these people I no longer associate with, basically said, well, we know you're a liar. Sorry, what? We know because we just do. Because, okay, and I knew I was doing much better when I didn't give a fuck what they thought anymore. I don't care. It's me. It's this is my special lady. Or not. I don't know. Depends. But as far as questioning dominance, it's not, I mean, it. I think it's taken as questioning dominance. When you're just saying, no, I'm checking out who the fuck I'm fucking. Or whatever. You know, however you want to extrapolate fucking into being, right? Like, whose boots am I licking? Who's, I mean, who do I cook for? All those things are not stupid things to do.
They are not.
They're kind of, I mean, we have the WWW in for us.
And it is. And I think that D-types need to stop coughing into the microphone. D-types, sometimes we take ourselves way too fucking seriously.
I think people take the whole shebang way too seriously.
And it's like, look, you know what? There's always moments where, I mean, I allow a lot of questions. A lot of questions. And that's because for me, we should always be learning. I should always be learning. My submissive should always be learning. And if she doesn't understand why I'm asking her to do something, or she doesn't ask why I'm asking her to do something.
Oh, sorry. I just smashed. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, and I can understand in the moment, I'm told I'm very intimidating. I can understand in the moment that when I, you know, when a request is made, hey, can I take a break? And my question is, why? And it's, never mind, I don't want to take a break. And it's like, okay, I get that, but I asked a question. You have every right. I opened a dialogue. You have every right to tell me why. And I am a very logical person. If you can give me logic and it can overthrow my reasoning, all right. If it can't, nah. You're going to do what I said you'd do.
Well, then you're being top from the bottom, obviously. Entirely. That's, I mean, this
maybe.
Is the thing. Like, the,
I'm
right?
A maybe,
like,
but guess what? I
don't
care.
Don't give a fuck, right? Yeah. I think... Communication, I think, founds good shit all the time. Like, I am astounded at how negotiation and communication have served me in work, in my business life. Like, to say to somebody, if you need some help, say so. And maybe you won't fuck up. Or if you're fucking up, just say so. Like, and I think so much of that has come from saying, so, the stingy things, like, maybe in the middle bit. You know, even just knowing enough to say, what do you have that I might enjoy? Or like to apply everywhere else, right? And to say that there's some halo around the dynamic that's dominant and submissive or master and slave, that does not, you know, you do not question. And the authority, it doesn't have to do with not being questioned. The authority has to do with being founded. I mean, that's like having a security in a base that one can address from a position of, I see you that way. So yeah. I am going to treat you that way or treat you how you want me to treat, whatever the fuck. But talk to each other.
Yeah.
Talk to other people. Right. I mean, I stayed away from the scene in LA for almost about 15 months, like a while, no longer, 18 months. Because I thought, oh, I'm just going to go right back to the shit I left. I am going to do exactly the same thing. It's going to, like,
fall
who
into bad
is
habits.
Going to give me some sense of security and we'll call it DS or we'll call it, you know, whatever the fuck, right? Like, no, I don't need a box or a label now. And when I think you were there the first night I went out at a Paradise party, like.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. You got the shit beat out of you. You were so fucking happy.
But I went and said, this is what I want. I haven't played in a long time. I haven't been out to this party. I've been trying to get to this party for a long time. I didn't have a car for a long time. I would really like someone to fuck me up. And I saw Fauna. You hadn't been, you weren't there yet because you're here probably. And I was like, she's the one. And I was like, do you want? And I think everyone kind of had at me that night. It was
like, I spanked you.
But I said, this is what I want. Who can help me? Mm-hmm. Right? And
that we always have willing people to, you know, to lay some beat down on.
Bring it.
Bring it. Wrong.
But it goes, you know, say, speak up, do your thing.
I think the challenge is not just coughing in the microphone. The challenge is when you're in frenzy, when you want that D type so badly. We so easily, we do this in vanilla relationships as well, where we turn a blind eye to every red flag we possibly see because it's giving us whatever this box is that we perceive that we want.
Or we can talk our way out of that convincing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the reason for that is because this guy on the west side of the building, that's purplish. And that's how come that person is doing that thing.
Yes.
And
I said I wanted a five-toed person, but this one has six toes. And it's okay because six toes are totally normal. So I'm going to go with the six-toed man.
Or you know, his right ear is a little taller. So that makes up for the sixth toe on the left foot. I mean, right. We tell ourselves stories.
Yeah.
And
I swore I would never go out with another
six-toed sloth man.
Civil servant or some fill in the blank of something. And then you're like, I get that he's a civil servant. She's a civil servant. But this civil servant's different.
Right.
It's always this one's different.
And then if you can make your logic work, though, to your point, like, give me a reason. Make your point and defend it. Substantiate the claim, right?
I think that's why everybody needs to have a buddy or a lot of buddies to bounce things off of. For a while there, I had a group of friends. Now, I can't use them anymore because they're all vanilla. But I had a group of friends there that I wasn't allowed to really, really seriously date anybody until I got their stamp of approval. Because it was agreed that I am such a shitty picker. I
That's
can't
quite
fucking
a campfire.
Pick anybody.
Yeah.
And my friends were like, well, we'll do it all together. And it was like this, you know, consortium of like seven people. So it was nice. It was great friends and it was fantastic. But, you know, it was one of those, I can't bring them anybody now. Who would I bring them? But the idea that I say this a lot in a lot of different scenarios is have somebody to touch base with, have somebody that you can be really, really honest with it. If it's another S type, if it's just a friend, whatever, it's somebody you've known since high school, college, whatever, have somebody that you can check in with and say, look, here's the deal. This is what's going on. Tell me what I'm missing. And they can be like, well, I've known you. You remember back in your junior year of high school? Mm-hmm. Do you remember, you know, Jessica or Joe or whomever? And then you can be like, oh. And then all of a sudden you see the pieces and you're like, shit.
Right. The balance to the person who can tell you all that shit is your openness to say, fuck.
Yeah.
I can hear you. I understand you.
Yeah.
And I think going back to the topic, what happens in abusive relationships, you're taken away from everything you trust.
You really are.
And if you don't trust that one person who's got you terrorized, you're going to die. Yeah. You're just going to fucking die.
Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, in any of these situations, you know, in order to avoid abusive relationships and try and have people you can touch base with, people you can be in contact with, and do as much of a vetting process as you possibly can. When we're talking about a DS relationship, just make sure that they are the person that they say they are. They have the skills that they say that they have. They have the experience that they say that they have. You know, we're no longer just talking about, yes, I've been in a 5-year relationship mm-hmm. and I have longevity in relationships. We're not talking about that anymore. Yes, I perform oral sex. Yes, those are just, that's whatever. That's so preschool compared to what we're talking about. It's not even important. You need to look at real vetting and then listen to your voice and check in with yourself on a fairly consistent basis. I think those are the real keys.
The flip is trust your gut. Like if you stop finding your gut, raise your hand to someone who isn't that person who's got you away from every other fucking person.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if this was a good episode or not, but I had fun. I got to chit chat and, you know, it was nice. Not, I'm sorry you didn't say anything.
I was listening a lot. Didn't really have a whole lot to add. So
that's good.
Yeah. That is good. And that's good you didn't have a lot to add.
As opposed to not. Yeah, I'll tell you after.
Well, you know, we were intellectual kink. We are. We're not.
We
still are in present tense. Yes. That is who we are. Yes. We haven't, like, we're still here.
Right.
You can follow us on the Twitter at kinkalectual. Easy to figure out. I am at Insidious Muse.
I'm at Service Slut.
I am at Audax Oceana.
If you can figure that out. Should we get a little tweet?
Latin.
You know, like us, review us,
you.
Share us. We have some fun shows. We're going to have some more fun shows. If somebody knows something about video, let me know because I want to use the video more and I don't know how to do it because I'm not like
I might know a guy.
Cool. Anyway, so thank you and tune in again in the future.
A week from now.
Meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I'll whip up my drumstick. That will make your eyes gleam. Lick it up quick before it melts on the floor. I got...